بسم الله. الحمد لله الكريم الوهاب، خلقنا جميعا من التراب، غافر الذنب وقابل التوب شديد العقاب، لا إله إلا هو إليه المسير، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، خير من صلى لربه وأناب، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله والأصحاب ومن سار على نهجهم واتبع طريقهم إلى يوم الحساب وسلم تسليما كثيرا، وبعد، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear brothers and sisters, we at Al Quran wa Sunnah Society of New York, albasira.org, are once again very pleased to welcome you to our today's program. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making it possible for us and ask Allah to accept it from us. Dear brothers and sisters, we are very blessed to have with us one of our most senior scholars of our time, a great scholar who spent his entire life seeking knowledge and teaching it. He is our beloved father and Sheikh, Samahatu Sheikh Saleh bin Muhammad Al-Luhaydan, Hafizahullah Ta'ala wa Ra'a. He is a member of Council of Senior Scholars, and he was Chief Justice of Higher Judiciary Council of Saudi Arabia, among many, many other responsibilities and da'wah activities. We thank him for making himself available for us, even though he is extremely busy, yet he managed to squeeze us in his schedule. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless him and grant him success. Dear brothers and sisters, as you know, summer is here. Very soon, children will be off from schools. Many of college students may not enroll in summer sessions. Many families will be taking summer vacation, so there will be much, much free time. And then, on top of that, we will be surrounded by much fitan in streets. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from all fitan. مَا ذَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَثَنْ. Therefore, you brothers and sisters at albasira.org, in an effort to educate you and to provide ummah with necessary tools to guard themselves and their families, we have asked our honorable Sheikh to explain the hadith, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْئُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَتِهِ, so that it may encourage us to take care of those who are under us from among our families and children. So it may remind us of our responsibilities and allow us to make better use of this summer. And the tawfiq is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to have a blessed summer. A summer which is full of knowledge. A summer which is full of ibadah. So that we may take well advantage of this free time and use it wisely in ibadah and in seeking knowledge. Dear brothers and sisters, we are also very pleased to inform you that we have invited some scholars to visit us in New York. Alhamdulillah, they have accepted our invitation, and at this moment we are just waiting for their visas, which we believe will come through within few days inshaAllah. We encourage you all to register online at albasira.org so we can provide you all details and keep you all informed inshaAllah ta'ala. And now, without any further delay, I ask our honorable Sheikh to proceed. فالآن مع سماحته فليتفضل مشكورا مأجورا.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. في هذه الليلة المباركة يسرني مخاطبتكم بادئا بالحمد لله الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده وخليله ورسوله، أرسله بالهدى والنور، فبلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح للأمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده. تركنا يوم رحل عن أصحابه على محجة بيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك. بين للأمة علاقتهم بربهم جل وعلا، وعلاقاتهم بأسرهم من ذرية وزوجات، وعلاقاتهم بإخوانهم، وعلاقاتهم بمن يختلطون به من بني آدم، وعلاقتهم بمن يتولى أمرهم. فلا شيء يقربنا من رضوان الله إلا بينا، ولا شيء يصدنا عن مرضات الله إلا بينه وحذر منه، فهو الناصح الأمين صلوات الله عليه وسلامه وعلى آله وصحابته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. وبعد، يسرني فيما دام أن الاختيار للحديث عن الأسرة، أسرة المسلم، والاهتمام بها والحرص على حفظها وصيانتها، ولاختيار حديث المخرج في الصحيح عن المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال عليه أفضل الصلاة والتسليم: كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. الإمام راع ومسؤول عن رعيته، والرجل راع يعني رب البيت ومسؤول عن رعيته، والمرأة يعني ربة البيت أيضا راعية ومسؤولة عن رعيته، والخادم راع في مال سيده ومسؤول عن رعيته. ألا كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. من السائل الذي سيسألنا علام الغيوب الذي لا تخفى عليه خافية، الذي لا يحتاج إلى من يشهد ومع ذلك أقام الشهادة على خلقه من أنفسهم ومن من جاورهم ومن الأنبياء والرسل ومن الأرض التي يعملون الخير عليها أو ضد ذلك، أشهد عليهم بما فعلوا. نعم،
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Our Shaykh حفظه الله تعالى, he began by sending you the salams, the salutations, and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and blessings to be upon you. He says, this blessed night pleases me greatly to speak with you, beginning declaring that all praise is for Allah Azza wa Jal, Al-Wahid Al-Ahad, the One, the Only, the Ever Unique, Al-Fard Al-Samad, He who begets not nor has he been begotten, and he has nothing which is similar or equal unto him. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship but Allah alone, without any partner. And I bear witness that Muhammad is a slave, close friend and messenger, whom he has sent to all of mankind as a means of guidance and life. So indeed he has delivered the message and performed the trust or the amanah, given sincere advice to the ummah, and fought. And he strove very hard in Allah Azza wa Jalla's cause in the most perfect and excellent manner. He left his nation on that day in which he passed away, and left his companions on a clear, obvious, plain proof and guidance. So clear that his night is just as bright as his day. And no one will ever deviate or go astray therefrom except that he is in destruction and ruin. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he clarified to this nation the ways and the manners in which they are to deal or the relationship with them and their Lord, between them and their Lord, Azza wa Jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And their relationships between themselves and their families, such as their children, and their wives, their brothers and sisters, and everyone whom they mix with, and deal with, and encounter with from the sons of Adam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he did not leave off anything which will bring us close to Allah Azza wa Jalla in His good pleasure, except that He clarified it for us. Nor was there anything which angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except that He clarified it, and He warned us from that thing. So therefore the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the trustworthy advisor. May the prayers, salutations and blessings be upon him, his family and companions, and those who follow them in goodness until the day of judgment to proceed. He says, once again, I'm very happy. It pleases me to speak with you. And we have chosen to make the topic of our talk tonight the Muslim family. And showing importance of the Muslim family and being diligent and eager in protecting it and guarding it. And I have chosen for you a hadith, which is an authentic hadith, and is reported in As-Sahih, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, which is translated to mean, each and every one of you is a ra'in, a shepherd. And everyone, or every shepherd, will be asked, and he's responsible for his herd or his flock. So therefore the imam, the ruler, is a shepherd, and he is responsible for his herd or his flock. And a man is a shepherd, and is responsible for his herd. And the woman is, he says, meaning here, the housewife, she's a shepherd, and she is in charge of her herd. And the servant is a shepherd, and he's in charge, or he'll be held responsible and asked about the wealth of his owner or his employer. And each and every one of you is a shepherd, and each and every one of you will be asked about his herd. Who is the one who will ask us? Firstly, who is the one who has put this responsibility on us and will ask us? He is Allah Azza wa Jal, Alamul Ghuyub, the one who knows all of the unseen, the one to whom nothing is hidden, the one who never needs, or he's in no need whatsoever, of those to bear witness and to testify. And even though this is the case, Allah Azza wa Jal has infinite knowledge, He still has established the witnesses and those who will testify from the likes of the slaves and those who are similar to them and with them to establish the justice. To establish the justice and to testify that which the slaves have done, whether it is good or whether it was evil.
وزع الرعاية صلى الله عليه وسلم في بيانه أن الإمام راعي ولي أمر الدولة رئيس السلطة في الأمة التي تحت رئاسته فيها فئام من الخلق مسؤول عن رعيته. ما هذه المسؤولية؟ أنه يسأل عنها عمد ما أبداه من حرص على مصالحها وتحذير من الوقوع في المضار. الراعي هو الذي له الرعاية على ما تحت يده من سلطان أو رب منزل أو ربة منزل أو خادم وكل إليه شؤون شيء من أمر الدنيا. والسائل علام الغيوب. الإمام مسؤول، أي إمام في الأمة مسؤول عن من تحت يده في أمر حفظ أمنهم وصيانتهم على الفساد والغدر والخيانة وصيانتهم عن مبارزة الله جل وعلا فيما لا يرضاه الله سبحانه وتعالى، مسؤول عنهم، يقوم عوجهم ويحمل ظالمهم على التخلي عن الظلم ويرفق بمن يحتاج الرفق ويعين المحتاج إلى توفير أسباب هذه الحياة. والإمامة الكبرى لرئيس الأمة وزعيم الدولة والمتصرف في مصيرها ومصائرها هذا شأنه عظيم. إن اتقى الله جل وعلا في من تحت يده فأقام العدل ونشر الفضل وانتصر للمظلوم من الظالم وألزم من له عليه حق أن يؤدي ما عليه في حال قدرته. يأتي للرجل هذه الرعاية الكبرى التي فيها صيانة الأمن وحراسة الفضيلة وصيانة الشعب عن الدعارة والمجون والفساد والحمل بما يمكن على إخلاص العبادة لله رب العالمين. يأتي الرجل راع في بيته مسؤول عن رعيته من ربة المنزل ومن الذرية ومن الخدم الذين في المنزل ومن يعيش في بيته أو تحت رعايته مسؤول عنهم، يخول من عوج في حياته ويحذر من انحرف في مسيره ويحسن المراقبة على أحوالهم بقدر المستطاع، يأمرهم بطاعة الله وينهاهم عن معصيته، يتفقد أحوالهم وينظر في سيرهم ويتأمل من يصحبونه ومن يصاحبهم، يجد في إصلاح حالهم ومستقبلهم، يتصور أنه مسؤول عن نعم الله عليه. ومن أجل النعم على الرجل أن يرزق الذرية، أن يفوز بزينة الحياة. الله يقول المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا. إذا حرص على هذه الزينة بحسن الرعاية وجميل الصيانة وصادق التفقد ودقيق المراقبة خوفا من الله جل وعلا أن يسير سيرة المقصرين ورغبة في ثواب الله عندما يهتم ليسير بالسيرة الصالحين المحسنين، نعم،
the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has clarified this looking after of the people or of the herd with regards to the imam, meaning here the one who is in charge of a country, the Muslim leader, the Muslim ruler, the one who has several people under his control and under his care and under his watch. What is this responsibility which he will be asked about? He says this responsibility is for him to be diligent upon benefiting the people and the inhabitants of this country, looking after that which is a maslaha for them, looking after those who are under his control and his authority, to look after them, to protect them, and to do that which is good and beneficial for them. Also included in the imam is the man of the household, the man of the house, the father, the husband, the one who is has his wife and his children who are under his authority. So therefore all of these people will be asked and they'll be questioned about those who are beneath them, those who are under their control. So the Prophet ﷺ, he speaks firstly about the Imam, the Muslim ruler, the one who has a dawla, a country under his guardianship. He will be asked about protecting them from evil, protecting them from treachery, protecting them from betrayal, from sins, from falling into acts of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will be asked about how did he protect them from disobeying Allah azza wa jal and falling short and establishing the rights of his slaves. The Muslim ruler is responsible for straightening out those who go crooked and those who stray. He is responsible for keeping them away from doing wrongdoing and oppression. And he is also responsible for being gentle and courteous of those who need this and those who are needy. The people who need things to live, the necessities of living, whether it's monetary means and so on and so forth. The leader of the country, the king of the country, he is responsible for this. What did he do with his country? Did he fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to those who are under his leadership according to the best of his ability? Did he force those people who are living in his country to obey Allah azza wa jal and to fear him to the best of his ability? Did he protect the safety and the peace? Did he protect the virtues and the chastity and the piety of the youth? Or did he allow them to go and do bad things and evil things and lewd and indecent acts? Did he encourage them to have sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen? So therefore this is his responsibility, and this is that which he will be asked about. Also, a man is responsible for his household. He will be asked about his herd and his flock. He asks about his house, his children. He'll be asked about the servants or those who he has working for him in his household. He'll be asked about all of them, those who are under his guardianship. He'll be asked about warning them from deviating in their path and keeping them upon the straight path, looking over his children, watching over them according to the best of his ability, ordering his family with the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal and forbidding them from disobeying him subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will be responsible for following up on where they go and who they're with, to reflect upon their friends, who they accompany, who they take as their close companions, and to rectify and make correct their future. All of these things, the husband and the father, he will be asked about. He will be asked about those favors and those blessings and bounties of Allah Azza wa Jal. For indeed the children are considered from the ni'am, the favors of Allah Azza wa Jal, rather the zina, the adornment and the beauty of the worldly life. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, verily wealth and children from the glory and the adornment of the worldly life. So therefore, if the husband and the father, if he works hard and he exerts himself to protect this zina, this adornment that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given him, by looking over them in a good manner, taking care of them, and if he's honest and looking after their states of affairs and their situations out of fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla, then bi-idhnillahi Azza wa Jal, he will be from those people whom Allah Azza wa Jal will bless to look after them and to search for them and what are they doing and where they're going, and he will receive the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
على الرجل أن يحسن لإخابة المنزل ومن فيه ومراقبة ذرية من بنين وبنات ومراقبة من يعيش في المنزل من خدم أصحاب العمل يتقي الله فيهم ويحملهم على طاعة الله جل وعلا. يتصور أنه مسؤول يوم العرض والجزاء عن النعم التي مرت عليه في دنياه، هل اتقى الله فيها؟ هل سعى في إصلاحها وصلاحها؟ ذلك اليوم الذي لا ينفع فيه مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم، والقلب السليم هو القلب الناصح الصالح الحي المتيقن. النبي أخبر أن المواليد عموما يولدون يوم يولدون على الفطرة التي فطر الله الخلق عليها صادق العبودية ونافع التسليم لأمر الله جل وعلا. لكن التربية لها دخل إما سيء أو حسن. يقول مصطفى: ما من مولود إلا يولد على الفطرة فأبواه يهودانه. سلكان به طريق اليهودية أو ينصرانه، يسران به سيرة النصرانية، أو يوجسانه يعني للوثنية من المجوس. هم عبدة الأوثان، عبدة الشمس والنور في الجاهلية. فمعنى كل من عبد غير الله فهو متشبه بالمجوس في عبادته. نعم.
Therefore, the man, he has to look after them in a good manner, his children, his sons, his daughters, workers, servants, maids, anyone who's under his roof. He has to look after them, and indeed, he will be asked on that day when you will be presented in front of Allah, and your deeds will be placed in front of you, and you will be rewarded accordingly. On that day, on everything you did in the world of life will be present and brought in front of you. And he'll be asked, have you failed Allah Azza wa Jalla regarding your children? Has the husband or the father worked hard in correcting his family members on that day in which neither wealth nor children will be of any benefit except for the one who comes to Allah Azza wa Jalla with a salim heart? And the salim heart, the sound heart, the wholesome, healthy heart is the heart which is honest and pure, is the heart which is righteous and pious, is the heart which is alive. That is the heart which is called Salim. So therefore, on this day, he will be asked about this responsibility. And indeed, the Prophet ﷺ has informed us that our children are born and created upon the fitrah. The fitrah, the natural disposition, and then the disposition that Allah Azza wa Jalla has created his slaves upon. Meaning that he is willing to accept the worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla and to submit and to comply to Allah's commandments. However, the tarbiyah, the education, and the cultivation, or the upbringing of the parents, has an effect upon the child, despite his fitrah, whether it's a good effect, or whether it's an adverse effect. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, he says, there isn't a child who's born, except that he's born upon the fitrah. Either his parents make him a Jew, or Christian, or a Majusi, one who is from the Majus. And the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala, he says, either they call him to the path of Judaism, or Christianity, or of the Majus. And the Majus here, he says, they are those who worship idols, pagans, and they worship the sun, and they worship the light. As if the Shaykh is saying here that they're just not restricted to fire worshippers, as is commonly translated to mean. That the Majus are those who are pagans, idol worshippers, those who worship other than Allah Azza wa Jal and their worship.
فالوالدان هم الذين إذا الله وفقهم وجهوا ذريتهم وجهة الصلاح والتقى. ولا شك أن من يدين لله بالحق ويخلص العبادة لله ويعمل على بصيرة من أمره إنما هو المسلمون حقا المحسنون تطبيق الإسلام. فالأخيرة فالرجل راعي في بيته ومسؤول عن رعيته، إذا وفق فاستعد للمساءلة يوم الجزاء والحساب، يوم يختم على الأفواه ويحصل الكلام مما ذكره الله جل وعلا في كتابه الكريم. فالموفق من استعد لذلك العرض والجزاء، حرص على أن يكون قام بعمل يرضاه الله في من تحت يده، يأمر بالصلاة، لما ذكر عيسى إسماعيل يذكر في الكتاب إسماعيل أنه كان صادق الوعد، يعني قال وكان يأمر أهله بالصلاة والزكاة وكان عند ربه مرضيا. يصدق في أمر من تحت يده في عبادة الله، فالرجل في البيت في مسؤولية المنزل يراقبهم مدى تمسكهم بطاعة الله، مدى قيامهم بأداء الواجبات الشرعية. الله يقول في الحديث القدسي الصحيح المخرج في البخاري وغيره: ما تقرب إلي عبدي بشيء أحب إلي ما افترضته عليه. فالذي يريد أن يرضي الله يتقرب إلى الله بما فرضه الله على العباد، إذا أراد أن يحسن إلى نفسه مع ذلك يتقرب إلى الله بالنوافل. يقول الله في هذا الحديث القدسي: ولا يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل حتى أحبه. الفعال لما يريد، القادر على كل شيء، الذي كل شيء بيده وإليه تصريف الأمور، هو الذي يصرف أمور الناس في الدنيا والآخرة، هو الذي يعز من يشاء ويذل من يشاء. إذا حرص طاعة الله وتقرب إليه بالنوافل مع الفرائض وأحسن رعاية الأسرة صانهم، تفقد أمورهم، نظر في سيرهم ومن يسايرونه، لا سيما في هذا الزمن الذي كثر على الناس من يعدهم ويمنيهم بمواعيد الشيطان ووعوده، وما يعده الشيطان إلا غرورا. فليحرص المسلم على مراقبة ذرية من حين نشأتها، نعم.
So therefore the parents, if Allah Azza wa Jal gives them the success and He allows them to instruct their children to the path of righteousness and piety, then and they are worship, they're sincere in their worship, and they have knowledge in what they're doing, then bi-idhnillah, these are the true Muslims, those who apply and act upon Islam. So therefore the man, once again, is a shepherd in his household, and he's responsible for the members of his house or his home. He'll be asked about them on the day of judgment, on the day of reckoning, on the day of when he'll be recompensed for his deeds, on that day in which the mouths will be sealed and the things will bear witness for or against the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as Allah has mentioned this in the Quran. So therefore, the successful Muslim is the one who prepares for that day, the one who gets himself ready, he outfits himself for that day in which he won't be able to speak for himself, the one who performs that which pleases Allah Azza wa Jal with regards to those who are beneath his command. Command them with the salah, order them with the salah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned Ismail in the Quran, and remember in the book Ismail, indeed, he was truthful and honest in his promises, and he used to command his family with prayer and zakat, and he was very pleasing to his Lord. So therefore the believer, the husband, the father, is to command his children with the prayer, and with the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal, and to perform the obligations that Allah Azza wa Jal has legislated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Hadith al-Qudsi, that the Prophet ﷺ narrates to us, that Allah says, and my slave, the hadith, the authentic hadith in Sahih Bukhari and others, it's collected in Sahih Bukhari and other books, that Allah Azza wa Jal says, my slave cannot draw himself near and closer to me with something more fond to me than that which I have made obligatory upon him. So therefore the best thing, or the quickest way to Allah Azza wa Jal, to the closeness of Allah, is by doing that which is obligatory. That which is obligatory. So the husband is to do this himself, and then with his children. And then the hadith goes on to say, even in so much until he does the nawafil, the voluntary acts of worship, the subrogatory acts of worship, the things which are not obligatory, and he becomes even closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore Allah, the one who does what he wills to do, he does what he wishes to do, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has all affairs in his hand, the one who controls all matters of the universe, in this life and then thereafter, the one who gives honor to whom he wills, and disgraces and humiliates the one whom he wills. So therefore, if the father is diligent upon obeying Allah and performing worship to Allah Azza wa Jal with the extra voluntary acts of worship, along with the obligatory things, and he looks after his family in a good way, he searches for them, he looks after them on where they're going, and who they're accompanying, who they befriend, and he tries his best to protect them from what Shaitan promises them. For indeed, we live in a time in which there's so much fake promises and false hopes from the devil. As Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, and the Shaitan promises them nothing but ghurur, deception. Wal-iyadu billah. So therefore the Muslim, he should be very diligent upon looking after his children from the very first day, the time in which they are very small children.
النبي يقول مروا أولادكم في الصلاة بالسابع، يعني لمن أتم السابع يؤمر بالصلاة، واضربوهم عليها لعشر، وفرقوا بينهم في المضاجع. فليراقب الأب الأولاد مدى استجابتهم لطاعة الله واهتمامهم بالقيام بواجبات الدين. أليس كل إنسان عاقل يحب أن تكون ذريته أن تكون ذريته ذرية قائمة بالبر والإحسان، يربيهم على ذلك، ليحسن رعايتهم؟ هو الراعي، منحه الله جل وعلا السلطان الرعاية، فليحسن وضع هذا السلطان في تدبير المنزل ومن فيه، يراقب سلوكهم، يحذرهم من مجالسة الأشرار، ويحث الفتيان على مجالسة الأخيار. النبي يقول مثل الجليس الصالح وجليس السوء كنافخ الكير وحامل المسك، إلى آخر الحديث. يقول بذلك يحرص على ضبة المنزل، الزوجة من هي من خير الخروج للمسلم المؤمن، الزوجة المؤمنة، فما يكتنز المؤمن كنزا أغلى وأحلى وأتم من المرأة الصالحة التي إن نظر إليها سرته بأخلاقها وحسن أدبها وثباتها وحيائها، وإن أمرها أطاعته بما للزوجة على الزوجة حسني التباعد السعيد مرضاته، وإن غاب عنها حفظته في نفسها عن الشر والسوء وفي منزله وفي ماله وأهله. نعم.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, command your children to pray at the age of 7. Meaning, don't command them, they're not. You're not forced to command them with the prayer before the age of 7. And beat them for not making the prayer once they reach the age of 10, and separate them in their mattresses. Once again, the father has to look after his children. How much do they obey Allah? What is their level of importance and emphasis they put on performing the obligations of the religion? Every person, without any doubt, who has sense, he wants his children to be upright and steadfast with birr and ihsan. So he must raise them upon this. He must look after them. This gift that Allah Azza wa Jal has given him, which is the gift of power and control, him being the man of the house, having the say-so, this also comes with responsibility. And it's not just something that the man is in charge without any responsibility. So therefore, he must do things correctly with regards to his household, his home. He is to warn his children from sinning with evil companions, and to encourage them to sit with good, righteous companions. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the similitude and the likeness of the righteous companion and the evil companion is that of a blacksmith or an ironsmith, and that of one who sells perfume towards the end of the hadith. So therefore, the husband, he must be very diligent upon this. And then the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala goes on to speak about the wife, and mentioning the favor of Allah Azza wa Jalla upon the husband by having a righteous wife. He says, having a righteous wife is from the best treasures that a Muslim can obtain and hoard in this worldly life. This is a great treasure, having a pious wife. A pious wife, one who will help him in his life, and help him upon obedience of Allah, and help him upon raising his children upon piety and righteousness. And that she's a good spouse to her husband. When he leaves her, she protects him. She protects her chastity, and she protects his honor from evil and from vices. She protects his house, she protects his wealth, and she protects his children and his family members in his absence.
ثم يأتي دور المرأة. يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم: والمرأة راعية في بيتها ومسؤولة عن رعيتها. الرجل بسعيه في الحياة، تخلمه في مرافقها، ولمخالفته لسائر الخلق من مسؤولين وغيرهم، له مسؤولية ذات عموم. والمرأة في المنزل لها مسؤولية ذات خصوص، تراقب فتيانها وفتياتها، ترعاهم بحسن الأدب، تربيهم على طاعة الله جل وعلا، تعودهم أن النعم كلها من الله. فالله يقول: وما بكم من نعمة فمن الله. تبين لهم أن نعم الله لا تحصى، فقد قال الله: وإن تعدوا نعمة الله لا تحصوها. تحرص عليهم في حسن الألفاظ، لا يتكلمون بألفاظ سيئة جارحة مضيعة. تبين لهم الأدب في الملاقاة فيما بينهم، وفي ملاقاة أبيهم وذوي قرابتهم، تربيهم على حسن الأخلاق، حسن الأخلاق، بتجنب الكذب، بالإخلال من الكلام إلا فيما ينفع، أداء فرائض الدين كما فرضها الله جل وعلا، التقرب إلى ربهم جل وعلا من بداية. تعود الناشئ من كمال السابعة يؤدي الصلوات الخمس، إذا كان من تمام العاشرة يعامل بشيء من الحزم، الضرب الذي لا يجرح جلدا ولا يكسر عظما وإنما يخف الطفل، ليس عن عداوة وإنما للإحسان إليه، حتى ينشأ الناشئ فتنشأ الناشئة على الخلق القويم وعفة اللسان وغضب البصر عن المحرمات والأخذ بما يمكن من الإكثار من نوافل العبادات. المرأة في بيتها تراقب وترى أكثر مما يرى الرجل، الرجل في حياته وفي لقاءاته وفي أسفاله عندما تقتضي الحال يغيب عن المنزل، فإذا كانت المرأة امرأة حازمة، إذا كانت ذات رأي سديد ونظر بالغ أحسنت صيانة البيت ومن فيه، وجملت الرعاية وجملت الذين هم من الرعية التماسا لمرضات الله جل وعلا وحرصا على توفير أسباب الرضا لرب مع المنزل بعلها، المرأة عندها من الخبرة في البيت أكثر مما عند الرجل، المرأة تحسن رقابة الفتيات، تسأل الفتيات، تأمر بطاعة الله جل وعلا، تعود الفتاة على الحياة، الحياة مطلوب للرجل والمرأة، الحياة يقول عنه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يأتي إلا بخير، نعم.
Then comes the responsibility of the woman. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, and the woman is a shepherd in her household, and she will be asked about her herd. The woman, just like the man, has the same responsibility. She must look after her children. She is responsible for this. And yani, he says, the woman, the man has a general responsibility, and the woman has a specific responsibility. The man's responsibility is to look after the whole entire family. The woman's responsibility is the household, looking after her sons and her daughters, teaching them etiquettes, raising them upon the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because once again, this is a ni'mah, is a blessing from Allah to have children. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He states in the Quran that you have no favors except that they are from Allah Azza wa Jal. He says, so therefore the favors of Allah Azza wa Jal are infinitive, countless. As a stated man, and if you try Allah's favors, indeed you will do so. So therefore try hard, speaking to the woman, to raise your children, and that they only speak, and they only say good things, and that they avoid saying bad words, and using foul, filthy language. Raise them upon adab. Raise them to respect each other and to respect others. Raise them to have good character. Raise them to have perfect manners. Raise them to avoid lying from a young age, to avoid telling lies, and to establish the obligations of the religion, just as Allah the Sublime and the Exalted has made obligatory. Raise your children to love, to worship Allah, to seek closeness to Allah Azza wa Jalla. For indeed, if you make it a custom, a normal practice, for your children to do something from the age of 7, to establish the 5 daily prayers, and at the age of 10, you use even some harshness with them, and you take a very serious position against them if they don't perform the obligations of the religion, which is physical discipline. but it is a beating which does not puncture the skin, nor does it break a bone. Rather, it is a hitting which is only intended to cause the child to be afraid of disobeying Allah, to put fear in that child's heart, never to go back to the act of disobedience. So in reality, it's being good to the child. It's being good to the child until he can grow up and be raised upon great character, upon having a clean mouth, upon lowering his gaze from looking at unlawful things, nasty pictures and videos and the likes, upon making superlative acts of worship. So therefore, the woman in her house, in her home, she is to be a watch guard. She sees things in her household much more than the man does, because the man, he has to go out and he has to earn a living. He brings home the bread. Yani, he works, he's out in the daytime, and she stays in the house. So she knows of the affairs in the house much more than the man does. So when the man is absent, the woman, if she's a smart woman, if she's a good woman, if she's a good wife and a good mother, then she is to look after her children. She's to look after her children, he says, baligh, yani, greatly. She's to look after them and be strict and to make sure that they're doing that which is correct. And to look after they hang with. Who do they hang out with? Where are your children going? What are they doing? And not to allow them to go with anyone. And to encourage them to do that which pleases Allah Azza wa Jal. He says, the woman, she is the lord of the house, the master of the house, the owner of the house, the one who has the say-so in the house. She raises the children. She has to look after her young daughters, raising the young daughters upon obeying Allah from a very young age, upon having haya, shyness, bashfulness, teaching the women to be shy, to have purity. And the Prophet, and even though shyness is something which is good for men and women, and it's something that men and women have to do, but especially with the women. For indeed the Prophet ﷺ says, goodness, he says, haya, shyness and bashfulness, brings nothing but good.
فيما يتعلق بالخادم، فالمقصود الخادم في من سيده يقصد الخادم الذي هو في ملك السيد مملوك، وقد يكون الخادم قائما على العمل، على المنزل، على البيت، أو على التجارة، أو على المزرعة وما إلى ذلك، في المال أو في رعاية بهيمة الأنعام، يكون شديدا في رعايته، عميلا على ما تحت يده، مثلثا تحقيق أكبر قدر من البراءة للذمة. وكل هذه الأمور تحتاج إلى غرس محبة الخير في النفوس من صغر، وتنميتها كما ينمي الإنسان شجرة يغرسها بمداومة سقيها بما ينميها، يذكر من في المنزل، يبين لهم أن الأدب خير كله، وأن أشرف الأمور مراقبة الله جل وعلا في الأعمال كلها. وفي النهاية يقول النبي في هذا الحديث صلى الله عليه وسلم: ألا كلكم راعي وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. الشخص يسأل عن جيرانه إذا كانت فيهم عيوب، وكان بإمكانه إصلاحها، تنبيههم على ما فيهم. إن كانوا في ضائقة من العيش وكان بإمكانه أن يسد رمقهم أو أن يفرج كربتهم، إن كانوا في وضع مزر في الصحة وبإمكانه أن يسعى لهم بما يخفف عليهم شدة المعونة وصعوبة الحياة، يجتهد المسلم في هذه الرعاية. الجار له حق كبير. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما زال جبريل يوصيني بالجار حتى ظننت أنه سيورده. والله جل وعلا في الكتاب الكريم أوصى بالجار كما في قوله والجار للقربة والجار الجنوب، جار للقربة أن يكون الجار من القربة، والجار الجنوب الذي من سائر الناس. أخلاق المسلمين ينبغي أن تكون متوافقة مع ما ذكره جل وعلا في القرآن الكريم وما ذكره عبده وخليله محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في سنته التي منها هذا الحديث الذي نحن ندور حول ما فيه من أقدار وأحكام. أنا فليتق الله كل مسلم وليفكر في من تحت يده، هل محضهم النصيحة؟ هل اتقى الله في مراقبتهم؟ هل وفر لهم أسباب سعادة الدنيا والآخرة؟ سعادة الدنيا لتوفير عيش الدنيا وعيشتها، وسعادة الآخرة بحملهم على طاعة الله جل وعلا وإخلاص العمل لوجه الكريم والالتجاء إلى كرمه سبحانه وعظيم إحسانه وجزيل عطائه ورفقه ورفقه. إن الله رفيق يحب الرفق وهو اللطيف الخبير. نعم.
As for the part of the hadith that states, "Wal khadim," the servant, he says, then it pertains to a khadim. It could be a worker in your household, someone who's a maid, or it could be someone who is a slave. Regardless of what is meant here, this person has a responsibility to look after the wealth of his employer or the wealth of his owner. Yani, meaning, as the translators note, in the time in which a Muslim has a slave. He says, this person must look after the wealth of his owner, or the wealth of his employer, the one he's working for, to be honest, to be diligent, and that which is beneath his grasp, from the wealth of the person of the household, and to look after the wealth and the property as if it's his own. And then the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala, he says, so therefore, when you raise your children, it is just like planting a tree, cultivating a tree. You have to constantly water the tree. You have to make sure that it gets enough sunlight. You have to make sure that you keep it away from weeds, so on and so forth. So therefore, you must raise your children upon this. Teach them to be to have honesty, to be watchful and aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and everything that they do and say. And at the end of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, each and every one of you is a shepherd, and each and every one of you will be held responsible for his herd. So therefore, a person will be asked about his neighbors. If he has neighbors, what did you do for your neighbors? Did you help them out? Were you kind to them? Did you aid them and assist them in their worldly affairs? Perhaps they're in a time of difficulty. Perhaps they need help, financial help. Perhaps they need physical help. Perhaps they need advice and instructions, and so on and so forth. If you had the ability, maybe your neighbor's sick, maybe he needs some type of assistance and going to the hospital, etc. He says, so therefore you are to help your neighbors. You are to help your neighbors. And the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala, he says that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has clearly showed us the great status of the neighbor in Islam. He said that Jibreel continued to advise me regarding the neighbors, but I thought he would make him a heir. And so I thought he would make him one who would inherit. So the, and Allah Azza wa Jalla also says in the Quran, speaking about being good to the parents, and he says, "Waljar," he says, "and the neighbor who is close, and the neighbor who is far and remote." And the neighbor who is close, meaning the neighbor who is a relative, he has extra right. He's a relative of you, and he's your neighbor. And Aljar Aljunub, the far neighbor, is the rest of your general neighbors. He says, so therefore, the cat, the Muslims, it should be something which knows and is which is in accordance of the Quran and of the Sunnah. And that was what Allah has mentioned about his slave and his friend Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he advised us to be kind to our neighbors. So therefore, this hadith that we're speaking about, in which the Prophet us, and he instructs us, we have to fear Allah Azza wa Jalla. We should fear Allah, and he should think and reflect upon those whom he's in charge of. Were you honest to them? Did you give them nasiha? Did you fear Allah Azza wa Jalla and look after them? Did you make it easy for them, means of happiness in this life and thereafter? As for happiness in this life, then it is making things easy with regards to their food and their drink and their living. And as for thereafter, then it is by them obeying Allah Azza wa Jal, being sincere in their actions for His noble face, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and turning towards Him and asking Him and begging Allah Azza wa Jal for His mercy and His gifts and His courtesy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. For indeed Allah Azza wa Jal is ever gentle, and He loves gentleness, and He is Al-Latif, the ever courteous, Al-Khabir, the ever or all aware.
هذا الحديث المخرج في الصحيح بين الرعاية العظمى بالنسبة للأمة الإسلامية. مضى وقت والراعي للأمة الإسلامية كلها واحد وهو الخليفة رسول الله في حياته صلى الله عليه وسلم، ثم الخلفاء الذين جاءوا بعده الذين هم أفضلهم على الإطلاق أبو بكر الصديق، ثم يأتي بعده عمر بن الخطاب الفاروق، ثم يأتي بعده ذو النورين الذي تزوج بنتا لرسول الله ثم ماتت فزوجها النبي الثاني عثمان بن عفان، ثم يأتي بعدهم ابن عم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وزوج ابنته علي بن أبي طالب. هؤلاء الأربعة هم الخلفاء الراشدون. ثم صارت الخلافة فيما بعد، يكون الخليفة مسؤولا عن الأمة الإسلامية إلى أن انقلبت الدولة الأموية، ثم صارت الدولة الإسلامية متشددة. ومعنى هذا أن كل ولي أمر إمام حاكم في بلد ما مسؤول عن رعيته. فمثلا نحن في المملكة العربية السعودية، المسؤول الأول عن هذه الأمة السعودية الدولة هو الملك عبد الله بن عبد العزيز بن عبد الرحمن آل فيصل آل سعود، الذي نسأل الله جل وعلا أن يعينه ويثبته ووفقه لكل ما يعلي قدر هذه البلاد في دينها ودنياها، وأن يكون هو والبلاد ودوة للمسلمين في أعمال الخير، والله على كل شيء قدير إلى غيرك. والشأن ذكرت ذلك مثالا، فليحرص المسلم على النظر في حاله هو، هل قام بما يجب لمن تحت يده؟ إن وجد نفسه قام بذلك فهذا من فضل الله عليه، وإن وجد تقصيرا أو اهتماما بأمر الدنيا مع غفلة عن أمر الآخرة فليتدارك. لأن الشخص الناشئ إذا ترك في مسارح الحياة يسير حيث يشاء ويختلط بمن شاء دون نظر للعواقب ولا تفكير لما يلتصق به أو يصيبه من هذه المصاحبات والمصادقات، وكان ذلك عن غفلة عن صاحب الرعاية الخاصة، سوف يسأل صاحب الرعية. نعم.
Then the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala, he says, this hadith, which is collected in the Sahih, shows us the good manner of holding our responsibilities and looking after our herds, our flocks. Like the first part of the hadith speaking about, he says a long time ago, some time back, the Muslim Ummah had one leader, had one Imam, who was the Khalifa. And the Rasul, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salam, during his lifetime was the Khalifa. And then after him were the Khulafa al-Rashidun, the Wali Gadi Caliphs. The best of them, the most excellent from amongst them without any doubt or any difference whatsoever, was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was Umar ibn Khattab al-Faruq. And then after Faruq was Dhul-Nurayn, the one who's called the possessor of two lights, who was Uthman radiallahu anhu. But daughters, when he married the first daughter, and then she died, the Prophet ﷺ married him off to his second daughter. Then after these three comes the cousin of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salam, and the husband of his daughter, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. These are the four rightly guided khulafa. And then afterwards was the caliphship in the Muslim nation. Every Khalifa was held responsible for the Ummah, the Islamic Ummah, the Muslim nation. Then when the Umayyad dynasty or empire had collapsed and folded, then the caliphship began to split up. And every single country began to have their own Khalifa or their own ruler or their own king. He's, for example, he says Saudi Arabia, the first Khalifa here was, or he says the Khalifa now, the leader now is Malik Abdullah ibn Abdulaziz ibn Abdurrahman al-Fais al-Saud, the one whom he asked Allah Azza wa Jal to aid him and assist him and to give him firmness and to give him the success to do that which is a benefit to this country in its worldly life and its religion. For indeed Allah Azza wa Jal is able to do all things. He says, so therefore, the Muslim is to look towards his own state of affairs. Has he performed that which is obligatory with regard to those who are underneath his authority and control? If he finds that he has fulfilled this responsibility, then alhamdulillah, this is a bounty and a mercy from Allah Azza wa Jal. And if he finds some shortcoming, and he was lacking, slacking, or if he finds he shows too much importance to the worldly life and heedlessness from thereafter, then let him rectify his situation. Let him rectify his situation right now, today, starting with today, and look after the future of his children and the future of his family members. So therefore, Allah Azza wa Jalla will ask every person who's in charge of your flock on that day.
ماذا يسأله الفعال لما يريد؟ يسأل عن الولد من بنين وبنات، يسألها عن الزوجة، هل أحسن رعايتها، هل أكرمها، هل اتقى الله في التعامل معها، هل أمرها بالمعروف ونهاها عن المنكر إلى غير ذلك. والمرأة مسؤولة كما الرجل مسؤول، فلتفكر في المساءلة. يوم لا ينفع المرأة سوى العمل الذي قدمه في الحياة، الآخرة ليس فيها أعمال تكتسب، وإنما فيها مقاضاة. فمن أحسن وجد ما بذل، ومن أساء وجد مغبة وسوء ما أخل به. الله يقول في الحديث القدسي، حديث أبي ذر المخرج في الصحيح في صحيح مسلم وغيره، يا عبادي إنما هي أعمالكم وأحصيها لكم ثم أوفيكم إياها، فمن وجد خيرا فليحمد الله، ومن وجد غير ذلك فلا يلومن إلا نفسه. فاحرص أيها المسلم على الاستعداد للرحيل قبل مجيئه، ولا علم لنا متى سيكون الرحيل، فينبغي لنا أن نعد العدة في كل وقت للاستغفار والتوبة والالتجاء إلى الله والإلحاح عليه جل وعلا بأن يحفظنا من بين أيدينا ومن خلفنا وعن أيماننا وعن شمائلنا ومن فوقنا ومن تحتنا، وأن يوفقنا للإكثار من التوبة والاستغفار، فإن الله يقول وإني لغفار لمن تاب، وأن لا نستكثر الإلحاح على الله، فإن الله يحب من عباده العبد اللحوح، أي الذي يلح في الطلب من الله جل وعلا في المغفرة، في الهداية، في صلاحه وصلاح ذريته، في صلاحه وصلاح أهل بيته، في صلاحه وصلاح أسرته وقرابته إلى غير ذلك. لا أسترسل في الكلام، وإنما أسأل الله بأسمائه وصفاته أن يوفقنا جميعا المتكلم والسامعين، أن يوفقنا جميعا للقيام بحق الرعاية التي نحن فيها ونحن ملزمون بها من إلهنا ومولانا بخبر نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأن يصلح ذرياتنا وأزواجنا وخراباتنا، وأن يحبب إلينا الإيمان ويزينه في قلوبنا، وأن يكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان، وأن يصلح حال الأمة الإسلامية في كل مكان، أن ينصرها على أعدائها، وأن يرفع ما حل بها من فتن، وأن يزيل عنها كل شر وبلاء وفتنة، وأن يزيل ذلك عن ليبيا والبحرين واليمن وعن سائر البلاد الإسلامية المبتلات بشيء من هذه الفتن، عاجل غير آجل، إنه جل وعلا الفعال لما يريد. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. نعم.
The one who asks him is the one who does that which he wills to do. Al-Fa'ali ma yurid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will ask you about your children, boys and girls. He will ask you about your wife. What did you do with your wife? Were you, did you treat her honorably? Were you kind? Were you nice? Were you merciful to your wife? Did you treat her correctly? Did you fear Allah regarding her? Did you command her to do that which is good? And did you forbid her from doing that which was evil? And similarly, the woman, she will be asked, just as the man, did you perform and carry out your husband's rights? He says, so therefore, we should prepare ourselves for these questions. We should prepare ourselves for these questions and know for sure. He's addressing the woman. He says, on that day, nothing will benefit you besides your deeds that you performed in a worldly life. Nothing else. Nothing else. But what you did with regards to your husband and your children. So therefore, we should reflect, all of us, and ponder upon this. The only thing which will be benefit to us and thereafter will be our deeds. As the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said in the authentic hadith, narrated by Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, collected by Imam Muslim, that Allah the Sublime, the Exalted says, O my slaves, it is nothing other than your deeds that I count for you. And then I will give you the reward for them in full. So whoever finds some good, let him thank and praise Allah. And whoever finds other than that, he can blame no one but himself. Therefore, you Muslim, prepare yourself on that day in which you will travel. Prepare yourself for the death of departure before that day comes. It may be tomorrow, maybe tonight. So you should prepare yourself all of the time. Be prepared for traveling. Prepare yourself by offering repentance to Allah Azza wa Jal, and by turning to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, begging Him for His mercy, being persistent in your dua, asking Allah Azza wa Jal for His mercy, asking Allah to protect you from in front, from behind, from your right side, your left side, from beneath and from above. For indeed Allah Azza wa Jal, He says in the Quran, that which is translated to mean, and indeed, I, Allah, I am Ghaffar. He says, all forgiving for the one who offers repentance. He says, don't give up on persisting upon Allah Azza wa Jalla and begging Him, asking Him constantly and over again. For indeed Allah loves the slave who is persistent in asking Him for His mercy. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He loves for the slave's heart to be attached and being persistent and begging Allah Azza wa Jalla. So therefore, you have to beg Allah Azza wa Jalla to give you the success in this life and thereafter. And for that righteousness and piety in your family members and in your children and your household, everyone, your relatives, everyone who is with you and lives with you. And I don't want to go on and speak too long, but I only ask Allah Azza wa Jalla by His beautiful names and perfect attributes to give us all the success, the speaker and the one who's listening, to perform husn al-ri'ayah, looking after our family members in an excellent manner. Indeed, we will be asked about our children. We'll be asked about them. So we must ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to correct our children, correct our wives, our family members, and to make beloved to us al-Iman, and to beautify it in our hearts, and to make hated to us disbelief, sin, and disobedience. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to rectify the state of affairs of the Muslim nation in every place, and to give success over the Muslim nation over its enemies, and to take away that which has fallen on the Muslims, rather, which has befallen Muslims from trials and tribulations and turmoil, and to help out the Muslims in Libya, Bahrain, Yemen, and the rest of the Islamic Muslim countries. Those countries which have been afflicted with some of this turmoil. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to do this, yani, in this life, yani, and we beg Allah not to delay this help and this support from Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to give us all the success, and may Allah extol prayers, salutations, and blessings upon our Prophet Muhammad, our family and companions.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم شيخنا جزاكم الله خيرا ولعلنا نكتفي بهذا القدر بارك الله فيكم. Dear brothers and sisters, with this we will conclude our today's session inshallah, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward our beloved Shaykh for his time and make this heavy on the scale of his good deeds. And we also thank you all for gathering to benefit and increase in knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us all in beneficial knowledge. Beloved brothers and sisters, until next time, we leave you in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping to see you all for our upcoming lectures. Please visit our website www.albasira.org. Albasira, albasera.org, and you will see the detailed schedule inshallah, as well as upcoming activities and programs for summer. Wa nasta'udukum Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.